Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 449. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is going on, sir?
Oh, not too much over here, but just got done watching not too long ago a very interesting episode of SmackDown that capped off a very interesting day in our favorite predetermined sport.
The news broke, I would say, of Daniel Bryan's clearance to wrestle, medical clearance to wrestle, early afternoon.
I don't think it was that early. I felt it was like 3 Eastern, maybe.
Oh, well, I guess I, for some reason, still consider that early afternoon, but I guess you're working your way towards evening by 3 o'clock. But the news hit at 3. I've got to admit, it seemed like there was already a built-in story for Daniel Bryan to be involved in come WrestleMania time. Even before this news broke.
Oh yeah, they've been like keeping a spot warm for him for a number of months now. It definitely feels that. It feels that they definitely were definitely prepared to just be able to slip him right into a WrestleMania match, because he has been actively involved in the entire storyline between Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Since before the end of last year. Now, I don't know if they were thinking even at that point that there was going to be a chance of him being cleared. Maybe not, but I think over the last couple of months, I feel like the drumbeats were getting louder regarding a Daniel Bryan return to the ring and what they were going to be.
Yeah, because this is the second time that they teased it. And because the first time was with The Miz.
That wasn't on purpose, though.
Well, yeah, but they ran with it, which I know that the initial interaction was not on purpose.
Oh, gotcha, right, yeah.
But they did continue to make you believe that there would be an in-ring return with the way The Miz was acting towards Daniel Bryan. I would say. There was already a storyline built in for him to jump into. And the only way that makes sense would be for him to be a tag team partner with Shane McMahon. And, I've got to say, for someone who was just medically cleared, is it already wrong to say, I find, his choice of, maneuvers to be receiving questionable already?
Yeah, they definitely were not. they weren't pussyfooting around there at all. He got right back into the thick of things, right back into the took some finishers, including the. I did not expect the powerbomb on the apron, although that is one that's it's probably looks more brutal than it really is. I would assume. That at least.
Well, with the frequency that they've done it, I would hope that it's not all that impairing. But I guess it was one of those things, and you kind of have it in your head, and maybe it's just in my head. You're like, oh, you know what? Daniel Bryan's going to be a little bit safer this time around. He maybe realizes that. that whole neck thing is pretty fragile. I mean, he was definitely not the first person to have a career retired because of neck problems.
He didn't have a career retired because of neck problems, because of head injuries.
Oh. Well, there have been... Well, Corey Graves is at least one that is a head injury.
Right.
And... And I guess I'm trying to figure out where I was going to go with that. But I guess it was just interesting how set he was on getting cleared. It's certainly something that, well, and maybe I can equate it to something I actually remember, is Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins had problems with concussions for an extremely long period of time. And then finally got cleared and really has not had any problems to speak of since that time. But and he's in a pretty contact sport in the world of hockey. And yeah, professional wrestling is definitely a contact sport. So, you know, maybe it won't be so bad on Brian, but it still seems a little bit crazy to me, I guess.
Yeah, no, this whole day it was just very crazy. The news hits, you know, late afternoon, we'll say. He's back in the ring with his comeback speech. You know, Red start a SmackDown, and then by the end of the show, he's taking his first bumps and delivering his first offense, and it's whole thing feels very, very surreal.
Yeah, I mean, and he's headed back to what one might call the the scene of the crime, too, since he's going to be headed back to another New Orleans WrestleMania.
I think that's very poetic. I think it's a great location for him to make his return, his first match back. I think everything. You know, I'm confident that everyone involved in this decision, you know, made an informed decision. He went to some of the finest neurologists in the country. He has been cleared by seemingly all of them. WWE's main doctor, you know, changed his mind about his case. There's a lot to this, and I think that, you know, there could be a medical breakthrough here in concussion research, as far as, you know, post-concussion syndrome and CTE, because apparently it's something that through various therapies and treatments your cognitive abilities and even the lesions on your brain can, you know, decrease, apparently, which I never imagined, but apparently they have. Apparently it is possible for someone to, you know, improve in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, the time may have helped. And it's definitely something that is newer in the research field. You know, it is pretty fresh.
Yes, and that is the thing. It is all very fresh. There's not a unanimous belief by, you know, medical professionals about this. Even 2 years ago, when he initially retired, there, you know, it was very much a 50-50 split, and WWE's main doctor, you know, was on the side of him retiring. But you know, it's definitely, he's definitely worked for this. He has definitely gone to every doctor, listened to everything that they have to say, done whatever experimental treatments there are out there, and he's made it to this moment. So I'm cautiously optimistic that, you know, that he's making the right call. He's obviously, his wife is, you know, 100% behind him, which is really the only thing that matters in the grand right. scheme of things. You know, his family.
Yeah, they have to deal with the repercussions far more than any of us ever will.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to, you know, show concern for the athletes and entertainers who brighten up our lives, but at the end of the day, they're not our friend. They are not our friends or family. They are strangers, and you know, yeah, our opinions on what they do with their lives really mean nothing, and it's really none of our business.
Right. And hey, if he wants to take some crazy bumps first day back on the job, well, I guess that's.
Well,
that's one way to do it.
Well, he knows he needs to change his style. I hope he'll never do the diving headbutt again, the out of control dive out of the ring into the where, because Daniel Bryan would always take the suicide dive on the side of the ring where the ring barrier was and slang his head off of that. That was never a good idea. I mean, I think he probably shouldn't be doing dives, period, at this point in his career, at this point in his life. He's an incredible mat wrestler and striker, and, you know, maybe one of the great scientific wrestlers of all time. He really doesn't need to do any, high flying.
Oh.
The drop kicks in the corner are probably not even then. Those could possibly be cut, but I did notice him when he was doing the drop kicks on the corner, trying to post himself with his hands and basically do a handstand out of it. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I did not.
So he did seem to be, although on the last one, I think he didn't catch himself all the way over either. But it's going to be trial and error with him. He's going to, hopefully that everyone involved will save him from himself, from his old impulses. But at the end of the day, I think that it's a good thing, and it'll be a treat to watch him, particularly at WrestleMania. You know, he's got a storyline. He's got a what could be considered something of an easy match, depending on how hard he decides to go in it. But it could be a simple easy match for him to do with his tag match.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the craziest aspects of this, is that Daniel Bryan had really become just, like, crazy popular. Like, he's one of those few guys that, like, everybody just wants to see win. You don't have that chant going both ways.
No, that is the beauty of all of this. That was the beauty of what they did tonight. This was 100% pro babyface, anti heel crowd. During the beatdown, it was, you know, didn't seem to be a single too cool for the room fan cheering for the heels during it. And that's probably what I'm looking forward to most about it is we just got a match. I mean, two baby faces, two heels, and the baby faces are going to be cheered, and the heels are going to be booed.
Yeah, despite the fact that Shane McMahon has indeed done his fair share of bad deeds along the way in this feud, the beatdown is definitely not justified. And when Daniel Bryan
why they did last week, you know, was part of why they did that last week was so brutal. You know, take all any sympathy away from from Owens and Zayn. And then, I mean, when I say that the baby faces are going to be 100% cheered in New Orleans, it's It's almost all because of Daniel Bryan. It's part of, maybe Machine had a partner, a different partner. Depending on who it was, maybe there'd still be some resistance. But this is, you know, this is gonna be some real, you know, old school heat type stuff, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Bryan just by himself gives the WWE so much. And I mean, the fact that he gets added to, I mean, I was kind of looking at the short list of matches, and I was just like, oh, yeah, I can, just the title matches for WrestleMania are already, you know, ones that I'm looking forward to. you know, Charlotte and Asuka, on paper looks good. Reigns, Lesnar, I thought they were having a good match before Seth Rollins interfered in that. And, I mean, you add back in a Daniel Bryan return, which, yeah, this is going to be a pretty crazy card at WrestleMania.
It really is. It's going to be really deep. It's, you got, my friends and I, we kind of make this joke about how there's going to be six main events on this show.
That's yeah.
Essentially.
I mean,
how they're going to be presented.
Because I was, just as I was talking about that, I'm like, hold on, where does this match go? Like, this match might get the biggest reaction of the night.
It might. At this point, I mean, what they did tonight and the reaction to it, this is going, it's, I know that they won't in the build-up and in the, you know, in their own way of doing, like, video packages and in, like, the program and the lineup and how they position the lineup on WWE.com. They won't put it over Cena and Undertaker. But really, it is. It's, honestly, once again, because of all the factors involved, especially Daniel Bryan, and the fact that this is the one storyline that has been built up since late summer, early last fall.
Oh.
There's so much there. This is going to have, possibly could have the best seat on the show. There's an argument that, even on the SmackDown side of things, it's a bigger match than the title match.
It's a fair case to state. Finally, speaking of that match, I guess I'm finally starting to enjoy what they're doing with Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, yeah, it's been really good. Of course, reports out about AJ Styles potentially having an injury. Obviously, he had no physicality tonight. Hopefully all is well, and they're just being extra cautious with him. You know, I know it's suck for people who attend live SmackDown shows, but it's probably the best thing for him if it's a minor knee injury or what have you, that for him to just simply not wrestle between now and WrestleMania and have limited physicality. Oh. They don't really need physicality with Styles and Nakamura. You know, their history sells itself to the people who are familiar with it. Those who aren't, you know, they're doing a good job, you know, building this up as something. You know, Styles' body of work just since he's been in WWE has been, you know, nothing short of phenomenal.
Right. Agreed.
And then Nakamura has, you know, once again, he's got that incredible charisma, a great entrance. He's starting to finally seems to be picking it back up. I think he's done some good stuff with Rusev. There's good chemistry there. So I think that this, you know, as long as, you know, Styles is healthy, once again, that match is going to be something special. The SmackDown side of things, for what they'll lack in so-called star power, I think a number of the SmackDown matches are going to be what people are, we're all talking about Monday morning. SmackDown has a chance to steal the show. And a number of matches.
Well, yeah, and I mean, SmackDown got a huge boost with Daniel Bryan. I mean, but yeah, that match, I just think that they're finally letting Nakamura have a personality. And they don't seem to mind him. Just both with him and with Asuka, they're like, oh, we can't have them speak English. And it was really hurting their characters. I don't care. I understand. They're from another country. They do not sound like they're from America. Got it. Okay, not a problem. Just let them speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Nakamura
was, he was funny tonight. That was a good line. That was good. You should have more confidence. That was great. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I mean, both him and Asuka, I think, they emote very well.
Oh, absolutely they do, yeah, yeah.
And
they have incredible facial expressions, body language, yeah. They're, you know, what they do translates in any country.
Yeah, so, and I think that just letting them kind of do their thing a little bit has helped both of them out. But Nakamura, like, even really when he won the Royal Rumble, I felt like they hadn't really done that much with him. But ever since the Rumble point, they've really picked things up, and I really feel like he's been more than holding up his end of the bargain recently. So,
Nakamura's been really good lately. He's, again, you know, Styles is AJ Styles, and it's gonna be, there's, barring injury concerns, this match is gonna be something really special. For some, you know that vaunted five star match, who knows. Maybe we'll get 6 or 7 or 8 stars. Who knows? Apparently there's an unlimited amount of stars out there.
Well, I guess I mentioned her, Asuka. That's another SmackDown match, I guess you'd call it, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're giving SmackDown credit for it, even though Asuka still hasn't tactically left Raw.
Yeah, and keeps wrestling on Raw. But I guess it's been pretty interesting with her. Well, Charlotte losing a match, I guess, going into this thing. And
yeah, I was not a fan of that, nor was I a fan of Asuka being on the defensive and not taking, you know, not being very impressive in her match with Alexa Bliss. I was not a fan of. I really wasn't a fan of either of those two. The layout of the Asuka Alexa Bliss match from Raw, or the finish of the Charlotte Natalya match from tonight. Although, if it does lead to a match before WrestleMania where Natalya faces Asuka and loses after, you know, after beating Charlotte, I could see the purpose of it. In addition to, you know, asserting that Carmella is still buzzing around with the briefcase and could strike at any moment.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. I mean, Carmella had been downplayed a little bit about having the briefcase. Like, I know that she had it with her, but the threat of it, I don't feel like it had been out there well enough. And tonight did at least help establish that that's a possibility. So I think that that's good news. I'm not sure that I'm not sure that even if she gets a crack at Asuka after what I am already imagining is a an Empress coronation at WrestleMania. I don't think Carmella's going to cash in successfully if she decides to challenge after that.
No. I don't think so either. I think Carmella will stay out of WrestleMania. I think they know what they have with Charlotte and Asuka. as a one-on-one match, and won't do anything silly to detain it in any way. I think that they'll get their opportunity and their time to have the all-time classic women's championship match that they're absolutely capable of.
I do think they will. So. I agree with you that the booking for both of them this week was pretty questionable. I'm just like, huh? Like, because it really wasn't. I never feel like it's enough with when Charlotte took out Carmella without much of a problem. Like, when they take someone out that easily, whoever interferes in that situation, like, I never feel like they are in such peril that they can just be rolled up.
Well, it's...
But it's typical in wrestling.
It's what happens all the time.
Yeah, and it drives me... It's one of those wrestling things that drives me bananas, but because it's wrestling, I just let it slide. I guess I still think that that's kind of a weak pin that Natalia got. I guess I just expected both Asuka and Charlotte to come in all guns blazing. They take out their main competition in there on a collision course with each other, but that is not the route they're going.
No, it's not. And yeah, I hope they don't ruin this. As I said, there can be a purpose to Charlotte losing this match if they can have Asuka beat Natalia herself, fairly handily after Charlotte took the loss. Right. As far as the match that Asuka had with Alexa Bliss, I didn't get that match at all. it just, Asuka was being outsmarted and out wrestled 70% of the way, at least.
Mickie James did not seem to have much to do with that situation.
She interfered some, but still,
Not like a crazy amount to make me go, oh man, you know, it's just the heel being the heel kind of a situation.
Yeah, it was just not the type of performance I think that was needed from Asuka during this WrestleMania build-up. Anyone could have been in the ring with Alexa Bliss to set up the Nia Jax. Appearance and chase,
and right?
The match could have been half as long with anyone else. It did not need to be that, but it's what they did. You know, I don't think anything is really gonna negatively affect the match that Asuka and Charlotte have,
right?
At WrestleMania, so you know it's kind of whatever. On the Raw side of things, they needed to transition to all the heat to Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax, and you know they accomplished their goal there. The match is on. I have no idea what kind of match that's going to be. I wonder if they're going with a deal where you know Alexa Bliss loses in record time, because there's just offensively there's just nothing Alexa Bliss can do with Nia Jax. There's not a single thing Alexa Bliss can do that will look good against Nia Jax.
I think Shahid and I talked about this last week. I can't see any way that Mickie James isn't involved in this match to make it a match. Or else, like you said, it's going to be just one of those short matches where the entrance takes way more time than the actual match.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine they have a plan here. But, yeah, I just... I don't. They've seemingly been obsessed with this match, the idea of this match, for a pretty long time. They've teased it. They looked like they were going to go there.
Oh.
But then they pull back, and they, you know, repeatedly over the last, you know, 6 to 9 months, and now it's here. It's happening, and they got to make something out of it.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I really have no desire to see this match. I really don't get why. I mean, I feel like Alexa Bliss has done well as women's champion, and in that way of quote-unquote deserving anything in this line of work, she deserves to go into the women's championship match at WrestleMania, but just didn't have, if the Charlotte and Asuka was always the plan and always the idea, they didn't have the right opponent for her, and they should have switched the title to Sasha or Bayley so they could have a one-on-one match for the title instead of in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, I mean, Nia Jax dwarfs pretty much all of the women. So it's hard to have a good matchup, but even Sasha is bigger than Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, that is true. It is. It's just Alexa Bliss's offense. She's not really a flyer. She doesn't really do well. She has her Twisted Bliss finish, but that's just really. I just don't see what Alexa Bliss can do with her to even have anything resembling a competitive match.
You don't think that big right hand that Alexa Bliss delivers is going to be selling well in that situation? Oh, man.
Not quite. I do like that right hand, but it just doesn't look like something that would work on Nia Jax's.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that one's a tough match, and the storyline has been built in well, like you said, for a while, but the physical matchup in the ring is not one that inspires.
No. So that's why I do think it'll be quick, even if they can run interference in from Mickey James or anyone else, or have Alexa Bliss also, develop an alliance with Absolution or any, just to get more women in this thing. Oh. It's still designed to be, I don't think it's designed to anything that's going to take more than 5 minutes.
Right. So we probably shouldn't take more than 5 minutes on it ourselves, right?
I guess not. Maybe we already have. I don't.
I'm trying to think of what else, because we got the title match, the Daniel Bryan, the women of SmackDown. I guess another officially announced match for WrestleMania as of tonight on SmackDown was Randy Orton defending against both Jinder Mahal and Bobby Roode officially.
Sorry, I was just yawning there.
Yawning on purpose or yawning just by happenstance?
A little from column A, a little from column B. I probably could have held it in, but I chose not to. Oh, man. I have no interest in this match at all. I'm kind of hoping it ends up on the pre-show. I really do. There's just no heat here. I know Randy Orton's got the, a legacy guy, and but he and his angle just aren't overheading into WrestleMania this year. Maybe if they kept the Roode Orton singles match intact, as a first-time thing heading into WrestleMania, then maybe, then it'd probably be a WrestleMania-worthy match, but they already did the singles match. It was fine, but nothing to go crazy over, and then to do a rematch with Jinder Mahal involved is really doesn't really add any excitement for me. It's the type of match that would come on about, you know, 3 or 4 hours into the show, and I'd be like, oh, come on, can we please just move on from right here? Can we please just...
Well, it's kind of... Long enough. It does crack me up that they're trying to build off the Jinder Randy Orton championship feud. But it's just like, no, I don't want to remember that either, guys.
No, I don't. It's just going to be your very run of the mill generic triple threat match. One guy in there, two guys in the ring, one guy on the outside, and they switch off. They make saves. Somebody's gonna hit their finish, but then get knocked out of the ring, and then someone's gonna steal the pin, or
someone ends up taking an RKO.
Yeah,
I think is how that whole scenario. I think your scenario is perfect until the end.
Yeah, I do think that we'll retain. Yeah, of the matches that are on, like that would be sort of like on the bubble of making it on the main card versus the pre-show, that will be one of them. That will be okay. How much time do we have? How important is it to get Randy Orton on this show? How upset will he be? And how he face and
how upset will the Usos be when we bump them instead of this matchup? Because Randy Orton's in it.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much the deal right there. And it's how important is it to get Randy Orton on the show, on the main show versus, you know, say the Women's Battle Royal. Because that Andre the Giant Memorial, I guess I know I made a comment about it earlier, but I guess we are going to talk about it. That Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. There are going to be no stars in that damn match. There is no way, even with WWE wanting to promote on the Giant documentary on HBO 2 nights later, there's no way that match can make the main card. There is just none. There are no stars left to be in it. I guess, you know, if Big Show is ready to come back, or if, you know, Kane can be in it, maybe, you know, if Big Cass is ready to return, or Samoa Joe if he doesn't have another match, you know, but still, still not worth just throwing that thing on the show. The Women's Battle Royal has more of a chance. Actually, I think Women's Battle Royal will end up making it on the main show, because there's just too many, you know, heavily push names in it between Sasha and Bayley and Becky and Naomi and
on the pre-show.
I think that one will make it. That will be one of the bubble ones that will make it that might push a Randy Orton U.S. title defense
I did have to laugh with Corey Graves tonight when he basically ate his own words and just called it the Women's Battle Royal. You could tell he was holding back from saying the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal, because I did kind of have to chuckle. Maybe I just missed it, but I felt like on Raw they really just did not mention that at all. And
no,
just because
they didn't, and they're not. They are now going to go into full. Now they're going to go full force in the other direction of never mentioning Moolah again on WWE programming. No, they did do that Women's History Month little video package of the history of women in WWE, and they didn't put Moolah in it at all. So yeah, they're going full throttle or into the end of the opposite direction there.
One backlash taught them.
Yeah,
taught them better. Yeah, but to me, it is kind of crazy that they have really spent a lot of time on Bayley and Sasha. And you're right. Like, I don't know where that singles match fits on this card. Like,
it's not going to. They're going to be in the Battle Royal. I mean, that's the thing. That was a decision made. I don't agree with it. once the decision was made to go with Asuka and Charlotte. As much as I like Alexa Bliss and think she's a great heel, they didn't have the right match for her. Because it was either then Nia Jax or one of two women that she's beaten multiple times as a WrestleMania match, and it wasn't going to work. So I think either Sasha or Bayley should have walked out of the Elimination Chamber with the Women's Championship. And had their match with the women's title. I disagree with what they've done with the Raw women, but you know. But they're also doing a slow build to Sasha and Bayley being completely at war with each other. So, and we only got 3 weeks left to really kick that into high gear. So hopefully, I can see why, you know, they're not gonna go there now. Once I said if they put the title on one of them, you know, weeks ago, then that's a different story. But that's not the way they went. And you know, the idea of a third singles women's match, one that's not even for a title, getting on WrestleMania, I guess it was kind of a pipe dream.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what I find strange about it. Like, you know, I guess I feel like they had a plan and it's getting shut down, but I guess I'm still surprised that it's getting this much story to it. Like, I mean, I guess I've liked the way that it's been built. And I
do too. I like it.
So it's kind of crazy that it's more than likely being relegated to a battle royal.
Yeah, fodder. Yeah, with everyone else from Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and women from the past, or whatever else they decided to do with it. Yeah, it's weird. And again, they started the storyline in this direction, but then didn't. But then decided to pull back on them having singles. I think they could have. There's other things that you could do with this show to shorten things or to get them their match on the show. Yes, you could have canceled the Andre Battle Royal, or not have the women involved physically in the show. Although that's kind of unfair.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I mean it's what it is. I mean, going forward, I mean they can continue this slow build, because right now both Bayley and Sasha have their points. Neither of them has turned heel at this point.
Oh,
they both have their points, have what they believe, and are, you know, saying that very matter of factly, they can't get back on the same page. But one hasn't done that horribly vindictive act that, you know, they can't come back from. And we're still building to that, and I think that we're probably not beginning that until WrestleMania or that.
And I guess that is the one thing that it can, something like that can play out at the Battle Royal, but honestly, the only thing that would really be bad, it would be Bayley being the one to pitch Sasha Banks for a change right after they work together to eliminate somebody.
Yeah.
Like Sasha Banks doing it again. I mean, I guess that really cements her as a heel, maybe. Or at least kind of gives you more of what Corey Graves has been selling on screen. But, man, if you really want impact, go with Bayley doing it.
I think that there's a good chance that things will move in that direction. It's totally unfortunate that they did not plan this out well enough. Right to have this crescendo at WrestleMania with the title at stake, but yeah. when they had Alexa Bliss retained and had this idea in their head for this Nia Jax match, no matter how much the rest of us think that it's a silly match, that's what they were going to do. And in the end, with everything else that they have on this show and having to get all the other women on the show in some form, and also all the other men involved as well, and, you know. There could be two battle royals on this during the proceedings between the pre-show and the main show.
Well, in plenty of multi-person matches.
Yes, that too.
Yeah, they are doing a lot to fit a lot of people on this card.
Yeah, they absolutely are, and I'm just gonna. And it's a solid card from top to bottom. It's a very, you know, they it's a pretty deep lineup with a, you know, with the roster they have, they have at hand, and they're, you know, they think that they're doing the best with it that they could with the goals that they had in mind for the show. I mean, it could nitpick the women's championship, which what match is going in the Raw Women's Championship. You know, the decision to go with Roman Reigns instead of Braun Strowman for the Universal title, and the decision to do John Cena versus The Undertaker just to give them both something to do.
Well, is that the one that you want to start with? Would be Cena Taker over Reigns Lesnar. Because both of them are ones that we haven't hit yet.
Yeah, let's go with Cena Taker right now. Yeah, then we can finish with one of the big matches. This whole Cena Undertaker thing, it's not working with me. I know you and Shiki probably. Talked about it last week. Crybaby John Cena trying to prove his manhood by picking a fight with the old guy in the corner of the bar instead of the young strapping guy at the other side of the bar. You know, it's just not ran true with me. There's just nothing. If they go with American Badass Undertaker, I might be able to get a little interest from me going, but
yeah,
it just feels like a very forced match, right?
A little interest. That is the one thing that I guess I still think is pretty crazy is that both weeks it's gotten a very good crowd reaction.
It does. People will always love The Undertaker.
Yeah, but I guess in that way, maybe that shouldn't always happen.
Right. No, I guess when you're in the arena and you think that there's a chance that he could show up, it's a different thing than when you're at home and you can start running the logic of, man, he was looking really rough last year. The ending was perfect. Why ruin it? You know, when you're in the arena and you're feeling the energy of the rest of the crowd, maybe you don't go through those logical steps like you do, as I said, when you're watching at home.
Well, and it's also one of those funny things that I think I might actually be kind of entertained by John Cena in the crowd.
I could be entertained by, you know, John Cena doing, you know, John Cena just wandering around all night doing wacky stuff and wacky skits. John Cena hosting the show. John Cena's Braun Strowman's partner. That could work.
Oh. Yeah, that could work too.
Yeah, but it just... I'm not excited about seeing The Undertaker wrestle again. And for the reason I just said, he didn't look good he looked terrible last year. But they still managed to have the big moment at the end that they're gonna kind of piss all over. Not kind of. If he shows up in the same costume that he left in the middle of that ring, you know, they are pissing all over. That's which is why the idea of the him showing up on a motorcycle with a good old Kid Rock's, you know, performing him live to the ring, since he's gonna be there anyway.
Right.
to American Badass, you know, there's something about that.
Add to his legacy of playing at WWE events.
Incredible legacy. But there's something about that can tickle the nostalgia bone. Although, it's almost funny to think about how when that whole American Badass thing was, Undertaker was doing that, all those years and that whole post-Attitude Era period, you know, it's like people were not happy with it back then. But now nostalgia is a funny thing. Now we're thinking, oh yeah, he's riding back. He's riding on. He's riding down on that Booger Red's gonna be riding down on that Titan bike.
I guess I didn't have a problem with it. Because I always liked that song.
Yeah, I like that too. And I also like it when they changed it to Roland by Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
But still, I think people always really wanted the Dead Man to come back. It actually wasn't the worst thing in the world to make people miss the Dead Man and finally give it back to them. But I'm mainly talking about that whole early 2000s period. You know, early 2000s period is not something that we fans were fond of at the time.
Oh no!
Now we're like, oh.
I'm saying I was fond then, but I guess I understood people wanting that to come back, wanting the Taker gimmick to come back. So
yeah, fair example. You know, after a certain point, it definitely felt right to bring back, and now I think it feels right to bring the American Badass back because it doesn't. It's the way that doesn't completely piss all over the end of WrestleMania last year, because he's showing up in different colors and different, well, not necessarily different colors, but you know, in different attire,
yeah,
with a different entrance, and you know, it could work in some degree, but it's a match that still doesn't need to happen. It is that match that's kind of taking up space on the card with two older acts, and yeah, gonna mean nothing for WWE moving forward.
Yeah, and the outcome, because I think you and I have already kind of talked about it since this match has kind of been floating out there for a few weeks now. The outcome doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter, but I don't believe Undertaker's going to lose at WrestleMania again to John Cena either.
yeah, I agree with you. I do not see him losing again if it happens. But
yeah. I mean, hopefully they do something special with it. If it's a badass entrance and attire and. You know, just do a relatively short match, 7 to 10 minutes. You know, maybe Goldberg Lesnar style, just hit all the greatest hits and get the hell out. You know, just don't try to linger with it, and don't try to have like a 20-minute epic. We saw it last year. Undertaker doesn't have that in him, and it's cruel to make him try. And it's John Cena hasn't exactly been the had the smoothest, few months either. So it's not necessarily even the right guy to carry Undertaker at this point.
Yeah, well, and John Cena saying exactly that. You're not an old man. You're not broken down. It's just like, dude, seriously, you had to have seen the last two WrestleManias. Like, I'm sorry. He's an all-time great. The Undertaker is. There just becomes a point where it's not good, and you just need to hang it up. But yeah, I don't see him coming back without getting the W.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll get the W, and it's again, hopefully they book this very tightly. They don't give them too much time. Doesn't need too much time. You don't want the wrong match.
The wrong match should be fairly easy for them to avoid. Again, the card is kind of stacked with matches that can go plenty of time. And I guess one match that no one's talked about, which could get plenty of time, which I wasn't even thinking about until saying that, in-ring-wise that could deliver would be Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, The Miz.
Yeah, I think absolutely will be a hell of a match. You know, the talent's all there. Balor and Rollins, of course, are great. Miz is good at what he does. You know, heat seeker, we could call him. He plays his role well. I think that match could definitely. I wouldn't say a show stealer in this lineup, but it'll be good. And it'll be one of those things that this is another reason why, you know, I'm not a big fan of the U.S. title triple threat match, because it just match goes on before this one on the main card, I don't count the Christian. I really don't. that one goes on before this one, it takes some of the shine off of it. But if this match goes on before that one, that match is just dead. Because only one match, you can see all the, you know, triple threat spots in it, you know, and have it produced in any way now. So, but this is the match that looks a lot better. You know, characters who are all, you know, over, all, you know, two popular baby faces, one hated heel. Yeah, they, you know, so this match definitely has strong potential, much stronger potential than the other triple threat, you know, singles secondary title match.
And it helps that I just think that all three of them are better personalities.
Yes, that is a major part of this. Yes, they're all good characters. They all have gotten good talking. They're all filled out characters who people understand. You know who they are, why this is important to them. Yeah, they've told a good story with it, as opposed to, well, Randy Orton needed. These three guys, they need a match, especially Randy Orton. Yeah. This feels like, this Intercontinental title match feels like it's been built up more organically, more feeling like, yeah, these three guys, you know, they're the right three guys to put together in a triple threat match.
Yeah.
And I gotta give a shout out to WWE's marketing department and their merchandising team for putting out OBC t-shirts for Balor, Anderson, and Gallows. Oh. That, you know, OBC, yeah. Original Balor Club. Uh-huh, yeah, that's what that's supposed to be.
Am I that dense?
I don't know. I hope not. OBC. Original Bullet Club.
Oh. Why did I... No, it didn't... There was four initials on those shirts.
There are four initials? Really? Okay,
yeah.
Now maybe I'm dense.
Yeah. Because it was... it was OGBC.
OGBC. Okay.
Yeah.
OGC. OGBC. OGBC. Now you're right. Yeah. All right.
That, just the way that they do that, but I mean, the WWE still likes to be dicks when they can be dicks. And the whole too sweet thing has definitely taken on more of a noticeable... part of WWE life for both AJ Styles and Finn Balor ever since they put the cease and desist out on the Young Bucks. So, I mean, the WWE can still have its vindictive streak.
This is all about... Yeah, this is all about the movie being very vindictive, you know.
So, your theory could have worked, which is why I was like, oh, did I miss something?
Yeah. No. It's again, the OGBC shirts, you know, obviously standing for our original Gangsta Bullet Club, you know.
Oh.
I mean, it's creative. And, you know, it gives something for, you know, Balor, Anderson, and Gallows to have. And, you know, they might sell some shirts. But, and the current Bullet Club guys can take, in New Japan and Ring of Honor can take solace in knowing that WWE wouldn't be doing this if they didn't feel threatened.
Yeah. You do not get that cease and desist or this kind of overlap without at least knowing that you're being acknowledged by the WWE, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
In the long run, it's a good thing. I mean, hell, I think the Young Bucks have gotten more reference on WWE TV than TNA has over the course of a much longer time. I guess, none of those things involved. I mean, yeah, I don't really have much to add about the other triple threat match there. Just that, you know, yeah. Balor, Rollins, Miz, sure. Let's do this thing. And I guess to me that leaves, Reigns and Brock Lesnar. I still just can't believe how tone deaf they are with Roman Reigns. Like, I guess at this point now it's a fascination, and watching them continue to screw him up for just each and every week in different ways.
Yeah. Are you talking about how he beat up those police officers? Those poor police officers who were just trying to do their jobs?
Yeah. Like, that was not very babyface. Like, if you wanted sympathy on him for the Brock Lesnar beatdown that ensued, he needs to be, even if he's just jawing at the officer and has his back turned when Brock Lesnar attacks, that's one thing. Having him completely take out four guys with a pair of handcuffs on, I guess that's supposed to make him look like a badass?
Yeah, I guess that was the intent, but it really didn't. It just made him look like a dick.
Well, yeah,
and it was something Stone Cold Steve Austin would have done, but there were definitely different rules for Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold Steve Austin was given special treatment. But
it wasn't just that. It was also the fact that, you know, there was a reason for Stone Cold not to like the law enforcement. Nothing's been taken away from Roman Reigns. Like, and Kurt Angle even pointed it out. He's like, dude, you're just being an asshole now. Like, yeah. Okay, you got it out of your system. Cool, I understand. You needed to blow off some steam. Your matches happen in WrestleMania. Just save it until then. Like, I'm speaking from experience here. Come on,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. No. Reigns was definitely being a dick all the whole thing. And, you know, once again, now here's something now. If we get the reveal that those weren't really cops, this was a setup from the start to get Roman Reigns handcuffed, that's better. But it still doesn't change the fact that it was like the Lions, leading the Christians to the Lions for slaughter in the middle of a Roman Colosseum, you know, with people just rabidly just cheering on the Lion. You know, I've made that reference before. Through that whole thing. When Brock Lesnar just showed up and just destroyed Roman Reigns with suplexes and chair shots.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it's just like, oh my god, maybe you guys will finally get the point that this isn't working.
No, it's not. It won't. Brock is going to be cheered at WrestleMania no matter what. No matter what they try to do, there's nothing. It's just not going to happen. Just stop. Just let it play out naturally what we're supposed to. I think we all kind of know what this is. We all know that most likely that title is changing. It's been predetermined for a very long time.
People might have been talking about... Yeah, people were talking about this after last WrestleMania when Roman Reigns beat The Undertaker.
Yeah, people have been talking about this for a while. It's kind of predestined, but, you know, once again, still has potential to be a great match. Still have a lot of its own twists and turns. It's still Brock. Things can still... You can still have your belief that, because once again, Brock Lesnar is involved, that anything can happen, that he could shoot on Reigns, he could go into the crowd, he could kill people, he could kill someone. I mean, you can let your mind go to these places during a Brock Lesnar match. You can just let it be. Don't try to force something that's just not going to happen. It just keeps making Reigns look worse.
Yeah, it's just crazy and fascinating to me to continue to watch this unfold. I don't know how you can keep on getting it wrong this many times in a row.
It really is amazing. It's sad at this point. It really is. And I think that people, I do think that Roman Reigns might be starting to enter that John Cena territory where, people respect him anyway. It's not like business is down because Roman Reigns is being pushed heavily, and it's never has been that way. But
right.
Don't try to make people cheer him. They're watching either way. You're getting their money. You don't need to hear cheers, and of course, hearing cheers for the guy. You really don't.
Yeah, agreed. So we'll see if this beatdown is a turning point in opening the WWE's eyes, because yeah. That was just really rough, especially when Lesnar's getting cheered for overturning the gurney, you know that your story's gone wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
So, I guess, is there anything else worth talking about in the world of WWE or professional wrestling that we have not covered at this point?
I think we've covered it fairly thoroughly, man. I think unlike WWE, I think we should know when it's time to call it quits.
Oh, no. You know what? How dare we forget about this? It's got to be mentioned before off air. Ultimate Deletion.
Oh my god! I can't believe we went this whole show without talking about Ultimate Deletion.
Yes. For a change, for the first time in a very long time, I was upset that I only recorded 5 minutes after Raw normally airs. I will admit that it was definitely one of those things that, as I was watching the co-main event, I guess maybe you want to call it, with the Balor Club taking, or was it just Gallows and Anderson taking on? No, it was the Balor Club.
No, it was a six-man.
Yeah, it was, okay. I'm like, wow, man, this thing's getting kind of late. And I guess that's a fair enough subject to broach in this whole thing, too. Corey Graves has been the only one to sell this Ultimate Deletion at all. And when Michael Cole apologized for what we were about to see, I lost it. That was one of the funniest things because it did not seem like it was a gimmick thing to me.
Oh no, I mean, Michael Cole says nothing that Vince McMahon doesn't put in his ear. So
Well,
it's very much that this is one of those things Vince had to be talked into. He was never going to be completely behind it. It wasn't his bag. I don't know if he watched it in its entirety before last night. I don't know if his opinion changed. I don't know if they feel like it was a success or not, but. Yeah, that was interesting, and they are turning it into something of a storyline with Matt Hardy now threatening to delete Michael Cole, and they've put an article up on WWE.com about it. So, who knows? Maybe the next person to visit the Hardy compound might be Michael Cole.
Oh. Well, we know that Michael Cole is never truly going to change, except for that 2 years that he was a heel.
But someone who probably will be changing, Bray Wyatt, because he ended up in the Lake of Reincarnation.
Yeah, and then was not found.
Yes, Senior Benjamin was unable to fish out the carcass of the eater of celestial of
Celestial bodies.
terrestrial entities or what celestial what the hell
I, th I think it's
sometimes.
celestial bodies. I believe is what he, I don't, I think that's what it is. But anyway, yeah, that I don't think that's a bad thing, if Bray
No, he's
Wyatt
not.
comes back as something different. Even if it's just a twist on what they're doing now, you
Because,
know, he's.
Jeff Hardy, remember Jeff Hardy went to the Lake of Reincarnation during the first final deletion in TNA and ended up subservient to his brother Broken Matt. So will Matt Hardy, will Bray Wyatt join the Woken Universe?
That would be a lot of fun.
I think so too.
And I guess that's one of those ways it's just like, oh, Jeff, we're gonna give you this spot, but you got a DWI, so Bray Wyatt's joining your brother.
Yeah, but you know what? If they don't want Jeff Hardy involved in this story, and they want maybe move him over to SmackDown and reignite his singles career, that's a possibility. While Matt continues to do his weird act with his family and possibly Mr. Wyatt, but you know what? But that could definitely all work. In comparison to the work in TNA that they did, I thought it wasn't as good as maybe any of the TNA stuff. But then again, I also saw all that first. But to introduce it to the WWE audience and as a very, very different way to end the show and to present something, I thought it was a success. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like, it was the most baby steps thing. Like, and you mentioned it earlier. Like, you can tell that the WWE isn't really invested in it. 'Cause even if Michael Cole was told to say that, he still said that on air.
Yeah, he still definitely and said that. I'm
Yeah.
sure he was told, but yeah,
Right.
they're not. Still very something, very different presentation than they're used to. And Vince McMahon is 72 years old. And, it's stuck in its ways. I mean, it's amazing that they made it this far. That they got the deletion match from the Hardy Compound on WWE TV. They put it on in the final quarter hour through the overrun and just let it be.
Yeah. I mean, that's about the best that you can do. And if things go well and there's a lot of social media buzz about it, I'm sure that it'll be back in some form or another. Yeah, it was that way in TNA, and it'll have to be this way in the WWE. Like, it's almost an entity in and of itself, the broken universe. Like, it's not, it's connected with the product, but not connected with the product.
It's something that might work as its own show on the WWE Network.
Oh.
The Adventures of Matt Hardy and Awoken Matt and his family and the visitors to the Hardy Compound. It's something that it could work.
And I don't know why Scooby-Doo immediately popped in my head. You and
that,
those meddling kids.
Because of that thing in front of all those that chase sequence with Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. That was straight out of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Despite its shortness and its kind of very kind of basicness about it, like, if the WWE does get behind this, like, I still have the utmost of faith for whatever reasons in Matt Hardy's vision. Because it's just a weird, delightful kind of thing that even if Vince McMahon doesn't get it, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I enjoy it too. I think it's something. It's something different. It's something wacky. It definitely adds something to. Can add something to the show. Hopefully, they're allowed to continue it and do more skits from the Hardy Compound. You know, they don't need to do another deletion match for some time, but still do stuff like this, and it's a different way of presenting things, and it broke up the monotony of your average role for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we could bring that up before I did the at Frango 11.
We're gonna go out without it, but that is kind of the thing with it. Neither Matt Hardy or Bray Wyatt are figured into WrestleMania at all. So it was just like this. It's almost like this kind of out of canon thing that they just presented that really isn't gonna have can't really have much of a follow up.
Oh, yeah, because they didn't get anyone else involved in that, so. We'll just have to kind of count on them to tell us where this thing's going. I guess we'll find out next week on Raw. I don't think we're going to have Worms on the Mat at WrestleMania this year.
No, I don't think so. I feel pretty good about that, at least.
So, we can not delete this edition of the show, but just bring it to an end. At DeFrango11, at Chris Calamita, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you may listen to us. And with that, have a good night.
Later.